Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Crime Prevention 101 with host Susan Bartlestone. We're so happy you've joined us. Over the next hour, you'll learn the tips, tricks, and vital information that'll help you keep yourself confident and safe. Now, here's the host of Crime Prevention 101, Susan Bartlestone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show tonight. Jennifer Kessie was a beautiful, vibrant 24-year-old when she vanished from her Orlando home on January 24, 2006. Despite numerous searches and years of police work, no arrests have been made and no body has been found. And Jennifer, sadly, is not alone. The FBI says there are an estimated 800,000 children reported missing each year. And that breaks down to more than 2,000 every day. And these figures are absolutely astonishing to me. I can't believe it. But anyway, since May 25th is National Missing Children's Day, I thought it would be the right time to speak about this topic on the show. And I've been wanting to do it for quite a while. So tonight I'm speaking with Drew Kessie, Jennifer's father. And you're going to hear his family's heartbreaking story and about what he's doing since then to protect your kids. And what he's doing is amazing. I've also got some suggestions for you on what to do if a loved one goes missing, and you might want to know about this or save it for future reference, God forbid. Then I've got a personal safety product to tell you about that I think is pretty neat, a robot guard, Sentry, it's pretty cool. And I've got a special offer for you from the folks at the Door Devil Company, and I spoke about the Door Devil product a few shows back. And to start us off, you know that I'm addicted to my true crime blogs. So we're talking with Bonnie Kernin from Bonnie's Blog of Crime, and Bonnie's been on the show with me before, and we're going to talk about the blogosphere. Well, this is Susan Bartlestone, and you're listening to Crime Prevention 101, coming to you live from my wonderful New York City. And the weather is appropriately soggy tonight because even the heavens are shedding tears for those children and adults who've gone missing and for the grieving families who are left to carry on. All right, first up, let's go to the blogosphere. Now, I, like a lot of you Crime Prevention 101 listeners, turn to the true crime blogs because they give us the lowdown on the high-profile cases that everyone's talking about and the cases that don't get much publicity but need a light shined on them. And one of my favorite blogs is Bonnie's Blog of Crime, hosted by Bonnie Kernin. And she's been blogging for over 5 years now, but she's been reading and researching crime for over 30, so she's an expert. Well, hi, Bonnie. Welcome back to Crime Prevention 101.
Hi, Susan.
You know, Bonnie, I really like your blog. It's so thoughtful and readable. Plus, you have themes like Missing Children's Day, which is what we're talking about on the show today.
Right.
So just quickly before we talk about Missing Children's Day, just tell everybody a little bit about your crime, about the blog of crime, and, you know, exactly what you do there.
Oh, well, it's a crime blog, and I post on murders, missing children, missing adults, sex crimes. I do more than just the high-profile cases. I do any that I find. I try to post on any of them.
And I like that you post things on the death penalty. You have your themes, and you have mm-hmm. you have certain issues that deserve attention. So I really like that you kind of diversify a bit.
Yeah, every month I have two different themes. One is like a state so that I can post on missing people and fugitives, cold cases, or anything of that for that state. And then I have another general theme. This month is crimes against children, with
right.
it being National Missing Children's Day this month.
All right, so then that's the theme of the show tonight, too. So let's talk about the case that started it all. You were telling me this afternoon.
Yes, that would be Eitan Peetz. I'm not positive I'm saying his name right.
I think it's Eitan Peetz because he was a New Yorker, so I remember
yes.
that.
Yes. On Friday, May 25th, 1979, he walked the two blocks to go to his school bus, which it was the first time his mother ever let him walk alone, but he had been asking every day to go. And so finally she gave in and let him go, and that is the day he went missing.
Mm-hmm.
He never made it to school, and the school did not contact his parents until 3:30. So there was quite a lapse in time there.
Which is unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen now.
No.
But back then.
1979, yeah. We were much more innocent back then, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. He was the original milk carton, the face on the milk carton.
He was the first face on the milk carton?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yes. I think they're still doing that, but that is what started that. Now, last year they did reopen his case, and so now it's an active case again. However, they do have a lead suspect, which his name is Jose Ramos. He is currently in a Pennsylvania prison for child molestation, and he will be getting out next year. So that's why I think that they reopened the case so that, you know, once he got out of prison, he couldn't just disappear.
Now, he had a connection to their housekeeper or something like that, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
Right. Yeah, I believe he had dated their babysitter.
So he was familiar with Eitan.
Yes, he was.
And it may have been maybe because Eitan knew him, maybe he went off with him for that reason. He wasn't really a stranger, if that was the scenario.
Right. Yeah. Now, every year on Eitan's birthday and on the date of his disappearance, his father sends him a copy of the missing children's poster, and on the back he writes, "What did you do to my little boy?"
And up to this point, this fellow has not admitted to this.
He has to other inmates,
and
he did to authorities, but he would not admit to killing him. He admitted to molesting him and then said he let him go, but nobody believes that.
No, I would. I certainly wouldn't.
No, because he would be able to identify him, so he couldn't
sure.
have just let him go.
He would have gone home if they let him go, or he
right.
would have gone to the police or something, or in some way been found if he had been let go.
Yeah, and he knew his phone number by heart, so he would have called home.
Do they have anything to hold him on? Do they have anything that's concrete? I mean, they never did find a body, so there's no DNA or anything to connect him. It's really just his word.
Yeah. And thus far, they haven't said if they had any evidence, so I'm not aware of any.
Well, if they had it, I think they would... They can bring him to trial even while he's in jail for something else, can't they? I mean,
yes, they can.
I think
that's what they want to do.
I certainly hope so, because I don't like the idea of this guy getting out anytime
yes,
soon.
Yes, definitely not.
And
they've waited 32 years for this.
If he gets out, would he be on parole or would he be time served? No one's watching him anymore.
I think that's it. I don't think he'll be on parole at all because he's in for the molestation charge, and he got 20 years, which is the most he could get. And I believe that is what he's serving, is every day up to the 20 years.
Well, he'll be listed as a sex offender when he comes out, or a child?
I would believe so. I mean, when he went in, I don't think they were doing that
right
as much as they are now, but I would hope that they would make him do that.
Now, that's a small comfort, because as we do know, that is not a perfect system either there with that.
No, it isn't.
And what was the date again that he's due to get out?
November 7th, 2012.
So
it's about a year and a half from now.
Interesting. So it was Eitan Peitz's family that was the driving force behind Missing Children's Day, which is the 25th of May when he disappeared. Is this through we were talking earlier. We think this was through the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children that launched it.
Right, and that was also with America's Most Wanted. They also helped with the center.
Oh, just on a side note, by the way, did you hear that America's Most Wanted has been canceled?
Yes, I'm very disappointed.
Unbelievable. After, what, 20-something years, 1984 or something like that?
I think it's 23 years. They're supposed to be doing some kind of specials every so often. What I read was that John Walsh is still trying to find maybe another network that will carry it.
Yeah, please. Let's get some cable network or something. What about
I think somebody will.
What about Oprah's network? All right.
Yeah, and then there's the true, you know, that used to be Court TV. You would think they'd grab it.
You would think that definitely you would think so. And it's hard for me to believe they were slipping in the ratings. That was a consistently well-viewed show.
Yeah, everybody I know watches it every week, so I'm amazed.
I get their emails. I'm on their email list. What the figures are, how many criminals that actually were caught?
Let's see, I actually have their web page open.
Oh, good. We love technology.
They've got, they found 61, they found 61 missing children and missing persons. And let me see what the says for the, 1,151 captures.
All right, good. That's a nice number. I like that number, and that 61 children that could have gone, it could have been 800,061.
Yeah.
So come on, TV networks out there, don't let this show die. Let's get this thing back on the air.
I think they do a lot of good.
Yes, they sure do. We have a couple of minutes left. I was looking through the your latest email, and there was something that caught my eye. The girlfriend from hell, Tiana Turman.
The one from Phoenix?
Bizarre.
Yes, that is. She's in jail, and so is the guy who actually pulled the trigger. But, I mean, what kind of excuse? What is she going to tell the judge?
Just give a little bit of the facts of this case. This is for real. This is very bizarre.
Yeah, this started Saturday night. Tiana Turman, she had sex with the victim.
And it was like a casual hookup, right?
Yeah, that's the way it seemed to come across in every story I read. Well, as soon as they were done, he put his clothes on and he left. And she got mad. So she went and found another friend, the other guy who actually shot him. They went back to the apartment and made everybody get down on the ground, and then they went back to the victim, whose name escapes me right now, but they shot him several times just for getting up and leaving.
That Yeah. Okay. So guys out there, you know, maybe think twice. You know, cuddle a little bit or something. You don't know. When you have these casual things, you don't know what's going to happen. The repercussions. You don't know who you are going to bed with.
Yeah, that was just amazing to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and someone else who did the killing, who didn't even, you know.
I know, I don't get that.
It's like, you didn't cuddle with my friend, you got to die, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't go shoot anybody just for not cuddling with a friend. Yeah, I don't think so.
So, let that be a warning to you sexist guys out there, you know, insensitive guys. You got to be really careful about hooking up. And you can read all about this case on Bonnie's blog of crime. Mm-hmm. And Bonnie, how can people find you?
Well, actually, if you just put in Bonnie and blog, usually that brings up everything.
Okay, Bonnie's blog of crime, and
right, and my email is on the right hand side.
Okay, and you're also got mylifeofcrime.wordpress.com.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's it.
All right, good segment with me tonight, Bonnie, and thanks for telling me about that Eitan Peetz case. To the Peetz family, our hearts go out to you still after all this time. And Bonnie, thanks so much for being on the show again with me tonight.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah, we're going to have you back again very soon, okay?
Okay.
All right. And my wonderful audience, make sure you check out Bonnie's blog of crime. She says that's all you have to put into the browser. You'll find her.
Yeah.
And if you'd like more information about National Missing Children's Day, check out the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and it's www.ncmec.org. When we come back on January 24th, 2006, 24-year-old Jennifer Kesey disappeared, never to be heard from again. Her father, Drew, is here to tell us her story, and he's become an advocate for all missing and exploited children. Now, you don't want to miss this.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101. And I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program with custom-tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio. Because shift happens.
Violence, theft, drugs, graffiti, it's all part of joining a gang. In times like these, we need to protect our kids and our community from gangs. Gangs often prey on teens with low self-esteem, who perform poorly in school, and who seek a sense of belonging. Protect kids from gangs. Know who they're hanging out with. Encourage them to become involved in school activities. Give kids a positive alternative to gangs. To learn more, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions at fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions at fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello, yes, this is Susan Bartlestone here. This is Crime Prevention 101, the radio show with an optimistic perspective on a sober subject. And thank you all so much for listening. Our numbers are just climbing and climbing and climbing, and I'm so gratified for all the emails and the tweets, and, you know, please tweet about us now. There's plenty of show left. Let people know we're here. Email them. And, hey, why not follow me on Twitter? I'm on Facebook. Come join the movement. Now, let's talk with missing person activist Drew Kessie. And as I already said before the break, Jennifer Kessie was a beautiful young woman when she vanished. And in 2006, and despite everything, nothing has been turned up after nearly 5 years. The authorities have kind of given up on her, but Drew and Joyce say that they're both, the authorities, the FBI may have given up, but they never will, and they will continue to search for their daughter. And now they become national advocates for the missing and the exploited and the trafficked. And I want you to hear this story. So, Drew, thank you so much for being with me.
Well, Susan, thank you for having me on the show tonight. It is an honor. Thank you.
Well, and let me just say that my heart goes out to you and Joyce and your family, and, of course, to all the families whose children are gone missing. You know, I can't even begin to imagine what you've gone through. But, you know, I applaud the efforts that you've made and how much you're helping others in the same situation.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Most of it is very selfish, and it's towards Jennifer, but a lot of people, fortunately, get the benefit out of it.
Fortunately and unfortunately. I know. It's a horrible thing, but, yes, you are doing a lot of good. But let's go back and start at the beginning. Please tell the story and what's led you up to this point now.
Sure. January 19th of 2006, Jennifer and her boyfriend, who was a long-distance relationship, he lived in Fort Lauderdale, she in Orlando, and they had been going out for a year. They had definitely fallen in love, and they took a four-day trip to St. Croix. Many people think they took a cruise. They did not take a cruise. They flew, and they flew through Puerto Rico and then into St. Croix. They enjoyed their time. They were with six other people that we knew. Two children, friends of her boyfriend's that we knew, as well as their parents. It was a timeshare on the island. She called us three times from the island, actually, saying how beautiful it was, you know, what type of rum do you like, Dad, things like that. I'm like, Jen, like, I'll talk to you when you get home. You're there 4 days. And the way they worked their relationship is every other weekend, one went to Orlando, and then the other weekend, Jennifer would go to Fort Lauderdale. So on this particular weekend, since they were away in 2006 in January, she returned on January 23rd, 2006, went directly from Fort Lauderdale to her work in Ocoee, Florida, which is just outside of Orlando. Worked all day. The last thing that we know of Jennifer that we can really track down is a couple things. Number one, she went through a toll plaza at approximately 6 p.m. coming home from work. She walked out of work with her boss, said goodbye. They had a meeting in the morning to finish their work up, and she left. I spoke to her that day. Her mother spoke to her that day. Her brother spoke to her. Two best friends spoke to her, and her boyfriend was the last one to speak to her at 9:57 p.m. at night. And we were having a little bit of a quabble over, well, you know, we just spent so much loving time together. Who's going to move? Who's going to give?
Mm-hmm.
And they both were very successful in their careers, even at a very young age. Incredibly successful, actually, I think, for what they were. And Jennifer went, as I said, Jennifer went to work, and she did not show up for work on Tuesday, January 24th, 2006. Very luckily, we know the people that Jennifer works for, and Jennifer was very reliant. She's very on time, and even if she was going to be 5 minutes late to work, she would call. She was that responsible.
Mm-hmm.
She's the safest person that I've ever met and known. She knows, she knew or and knows what to do if she was ever raped, if she was ever abducted. Unfortunately, myself and her mother were held up at gunpoint before we had children in our home.
Oh.
So we taught our children very young
victim,
as soon as they started
you were a crime
to
victim yourself.
Understand about safety.
Okay.
Jennifer did not show up to work. We got the call probably mid-morning, around 10:30 in the morning. Is something wrong with Jennifer? She did not show up to work. I said, well, not that I know of, but I can always get her. Well, she's had the same cell phone since she was 16 years old and got a car in Florida, and it was the first time since she was 16, as she was 24 at the time, that it went directly to voicemail. No four rings or anything. It went directly to voicemail. We automatically knew something was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Called police immediately. We gave a report, and by the time we got out to Orlando, we were met by our first police officer who actually shrugged his shoulders, chuckled a little, and said, well, she probably had a fight with her boyfriend. She'll be back. We don't accept that.
That's what they always try to shrug it off at first, too, don't they?
And if I may, Susan, I think the most important lesson that we can learn out of anything that anyone can ever talk about when police are involved are first responders.
Mm-hmm.
They are so important, and they're at the lowest level.
Yep.
They are so important. Don't ever pass anything by as a first responder. It's so easy to go back and say, you know what, I made a mistake, than it is to say, oh, my gosh, I really made a mistake.
Great.
And that's what happened in Jennifer's case. And really, it's been admitted at this point. And, you know, FBI has even at this point, after a 10-month investigation, pulled me to my face after a four-and-a-half-hour interrogation, as well as my son and polygraph, that your daughter is vanished. We have not a clue of where she is. We wish we were there on day one, but please, we don't even want any more leads.
How did you get the FBI involved in this? And could you have gotten them involved earlier? Was it something you just didn't think about? Or
FBI? No. See, Jennifer was an adult. And adults were allowed to go missing. And we did change the law in Florida. The law now is the Jennifer Kessie Tiffany Sessions Missing Persons Act.
And I was actually going to ask you
everything.
That. That's one of the really important things that you've done. Maybe let's just talk about that a little bit, because that's a big thing.
Yes, I think there's something bigger that we do, but yes. What it did was it really did four things in the state of Florida. Number one, a family member used to have to report the person missing. That's no longer, since 2008 when we passed the law, that's no longer anyone can call a missing person in Florida right now. Number two, we changed the age from 18 to 26. That if anyone calls in, police department has to take a missing persons report and has to have it in three databases, including the national database, within 2 hours.
Okay, and that's the national, the NI...
NCIC, yes.
NCIC, and what does that stand for again, national...
That's the National Crime Information... I'm missing it right now, but that's where every single felon,
you want to make sure that person's missing report goes into that database, because that means anyone in the United States that law enforcement can access that.
Correct. Absolutely. And basically, we also changed the law that if a person is over 26 and law enforcement feels that there is foul play, they have to do the same immediately also. With that law, the two sentences within Jennifer's law and Tiffany's law gave Governor Crist, when he was governor of Florida, the executive privilege to create the sober alert in Florida, which, you know, we live in God's waiting room here. So is the same as the amber alert, but for dementia or old persons who go missing.
Huh.
It's 10 times more productive than amber alerts. In fact, last time I checked, I think there was about 70 silver alerts, 95% closure rate, compared to 5 amber alerts in Florida.
Interesting.
So we are saving people who walk around in circles that are old and don't know where they are. They're just in a familiar place and they don't make it home. And lastly is, after 90 days, and I wish it was 30, but after 90 days, if the person is not found, police must take DNA of both the missing person, if they can find it, as well as mitochondrial, which is the mother. And in our case, not only is Jennifer's mom, Joyce, myself, as well as my son, are in the national database, too.
Oh, is that the DNA... The DNA upon felony arrest act, is that part of that?
Well, no, that's actually different. Oh. That, I think, is more important than anything we have ever worked on. The DNA upon felony arrest, and here is something I want people to understand, is when a felon gets arrested, most of the states across this country, you have to be convicted before your DNA is put into VICAP, which is the FBI violent crimes database, as well as the NCIC database. We have made it in Florida, and unfortunately it did not get funded. It's getting funded very slowly, that if you are arrested, not convicted, because the fact of the matter is that the time between a person gets arrested for a felony in Florida, well, actually in America, and the time they get convicted of their first felony, they've actually committed 5.5 more felonies on average.
Oh, really?
I mean, think of that. Think of that.
Yeah.
So by having someone's DNA upon arrest of a felony is so important. It will save so much money. In fact, I think Indiana saves $60 million a year in investigative costs.
Wow.
This law.
That's a very controversial act there, though.
Well, you know what I say to that controversial act? When you are arrested for a felony, would you rather go through a DNA swab that is 30 seconds, or would you rather go through a cavity check?
Yeah, but this is the right of, you know, the right of the criminal. You know, we're very careful about protecting their rights.
We are.
So this is a major accomplishment.
DNA that is taken, Susan, is there are 15,000 identifiers within DNA.
Mm-hmm.
We take 27 of them.
Okay.
If you looked at a DNA report that goes into a computer system to identify the criminal, you would have no idea what it meant. You would have no idea who did it. You would have no idea what the name is. There is no medical anything. It is strictly an identifier. And it works two ways, Susan. It gets people off.
I see. Okay.
There are three people in Florida this year that got off from being on death row because of DNA. So
I see what you mean. Their privacy.
If you haven't committed a crime, you're fine.
Unless a patch turns up somewhere.
Yeah. But if you have committed a crime, we're going to find out what's going on.
Gotcha. Wow. I hope you're trying to get
that. That is the most important law that we need. right now. And unfortunately, the FBI is very much behind in putting the DNA even into the database. So it's very difficult. And then we have a new database called NamUs.
NamUs, how do you spell that?
N-A-M-U-S.
Okay, and what does that mean?
Gov. And basically what that is, I'm sorry, .org. Basically what that is the unidentified human remains database.
Oh.
And what we do is we don't know if Jennifer was taken to another state and trafficked and possibly killed, say, in Washington State. And by taking the DNA of bones all over the country, be it in a medical hospital, be it in a morgue, be it in a pauper's grave, be it in, medical examiner's offices, anywhere, dentistry, does not matter. We need to take the DNA and get it into the database. And then along with the maternal as well as paternal and sibling DNA, it makes matches. And we're hitting about 35% matches of unidentified human remains.
Hmm.
And when you look at this, I mean, last week a case was solved 31 years old.
Wow.
31 years ago, someone finally got their answer. And they arrested 3 people. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. People have to realize that fingerprinting, yes, it's a nice technique. Image, you take your mug shots, yes, that's mm-hmm. fine. Your fingerprints, yes, that's fine. DNA is the future. It's here.
Yep. Now,
get
that website out again.
It's faster than anything else. It's proven it day after day after day.
Drew, get that website again. I want to make sure everyone has that. NamUs.
And you can go to DNA.gov. And find everything you want to know about DNA and how it's used, what databases, what the laws are. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, people don't realize, police don't realize that under the Fourth Amendment, say there's a 21-year-old, total legal adult, and he's going out with a 13-year-old, and the parents report the 13-year-old missing and say, we know for a fact my daughter is at this 21-year-old's house. If the police show up at the door and say, we want to come in and look for such and such because we have belief that she is here, and the 21-year-old says, no, you're not allowed to come in, well, guess what? You are now. By the Supreme Court, the police can walk in. Now, if they find a pile of coke sitting on the table, they can't do anything. If they find 10 pounds of pot, they can't do anything. But they can walk through that home and look for that missing person. Without having a warrant.
That's in all 50 states?
I'm sorry?
That's in all 50 states?
Yes, that's Supreme Court of America.
Okay.
Absolutely, yes. Sure. It got changed.
Now, I did not know that. All right, listen, Drew, we're coming up on a quick pause.
No problem.
Stick around with me. I want you. We're going to talk some more when we come back about some of the other things that you're doing. And I want us to also talk about an email that I got from a fellow who says that the United States has the technology and the means right now to find any missing person pretty much in real time, but his suggestions are pretty controversial, and we're going to find out why when we come right back. Just don't go away.
Talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
After more than 17 years' experience teaching safety skills to thousands of women and men, crime prevention and personal safety expert Susan Bartlestone concluded that by thinking and responding quickly, ideally within 20 seconds, potentially violent criminal encounters can be prevented. Using techniques from many different disciplines and illustrated by 60 real-life examples and success stories, Susan shows how it's done in her new book, Think Fast and Prevent a Violent Crime, how to respond to danger in 20 seconds or less. Check out www.crimeprevention.com.
CrimePrevention101.com for more information.
If you think you've seen online TV before, let us surprise you.
VoiceAmerica.tv is online now.
The leader in live internet talk radio has done it again. Multiple channels, a state-of-the-art viewing experience, live and on-demand programs streaming 24 hours a day. It's exactly what you want, when you want it.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
From health and wellness to business, sports, and everything in between. Discover our new world. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv now and experience the future of online television.
VoiceAmerica.tv.
You're walking alone. A group of people is hanging out just ahead. Suddenly, they surround you.
Hey, yo, where you going? Come here.
Before you know it, you're being robbed. It's called a pack robbery, a robbery involving a group of assailants, and it can be violent. In times like these, trust your instincts. Don't become their next victim. Avoid suspicious groups. Avoid desolate or poorly lighted areas. Be aware of your surroundings. To learn more about pack robberies, visit ncpc.org or contact your local law enforcement agency.
A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
Hello again. Yes, this is Crime Prevention 101. Yes, I'm Susan Bartlestone. And don't forget that Crime Prevention 101 is available on iTunes. You never, never, ever have to be without us. We've been talking with Drew Kessy, whose daughter Jennifer went missing 5 years ago. And if you'd like more information about Jennifer, I want you to go to www.findjenniferkessy, and it's K-E-S like sugar, S like sugar, E.com. And don't forget that I'm posting the links to all my guests from today's show on my CrimePrevention101.com blog. Drew, welcome back. Now, we were talking about some of the work that you've done in Florida, some of the laws that you've initiated, the Jennifer Kessy Tiffany Sessions Missing Persons Act, the DNA Upon Felony Arrest Act, and I was just saying off-air to you, I'm hoping that you're trying to get some of these things nationally. This is only in Florida right now. You are doing that.
Correct. You know, DNA is in 26 states now. We need it really in every state. I don't know why we can't get it on national level. The FBI really just doesn't want to take it on. It's a huge job.
Hmm. The DNA upon felony arrest is in 26 states?
26 states now, yes.
Good. Okay, is New York one of them, I hope?
New York is one of them.
Okay, good. I was getting my activist hat on here, if
that's
it wasn't.
Right.
All right.
But basically, we are trying to, you know, we're trying to educate people on what is really going on there. And Susan, I honestly lost track. What was the question that you asked? I apologize.
What I was asking was, are you trying to get the Missing Persons Act and the DNA Upon Felony Arrest Act?
Oh, okay, yes.
National.
Russ and I belong to a organization called the Surviving Parents Coalition, and it's spcoalition.org. It's headed by Ed Smart, Elizabeth Smart's father. And we're basically a lobbyist group. And we go to Capitol Hill and we testify and we're trying to get all these laws passed. In fact, we have Billy's law right now, which is Billy Smolinski, and it's trying to take exactly what I'm talking about nationally. And it hooks up the NCIC database with the NamUs database. And really what's happening across America is there is no set policy and procedure or protocol for the missing.
Okay.
In Florida, you have 67 counties. Each sheriff's department and each chief is an entity into themselves, and there is no one overseeing them. So they're all rule themselves. And we're trying to get the whole country, if we all work together, the databases are set up, the DNA is taken for free, by the way. It's sent out and processed for free through the University of North Texas Human Identification. The kits are for free. It gets put into the database for free. And all we're asking is that police around the country just simply take the DNA of bones that you find, of human remains, unknowns, get them into the database, and we will find who they belong to. But we, as the Surviving Parents Coalition, do go to Capitol Hill, and we are looking to do these things on a national basis. And unfortunately, America has found itself in a very crucial financial crunch, and it's just absolutely a shame.
Indeed.
That
Indeed.
In our eyes, we don't think as Americans, as human beings first, that's what America is all about and should be about. And we just witnessed, you know, I hate to say it, but America's Most Wanted was just canceled this week.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. I know. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, you've got to be kidding me. I don't care if it didn't make a darn penny. The goodwill and the money that it saves outside of the network is such an important section of American life. You know who watches America's Most Wanted? The criminals. They do.
Oh, good.
They want to see if they're wanted.
Good. To see if they made
and
it on the TV.
Every single new show, and maybe you said this, but every single new show that has ever been produced on America's Most Wanted, one person has been arrested. So it's got he's batting 1,000.
Terrific. I think all Crime Prevention 101 listeners should write to Fox and tell them we want this show continued, or somewhere else anyway.
Well, it'll show
start
up.
Start a campaign for that.
It'll be a competitor to whoever it is. It has to be. I mean, it's a shame, unfortunately.
All right. Well, that's true. I want to change the subject a little bit.
Bellies of missing persons. I mean, you know, Jennifer turns 30 this Friday, and that's the worst day of the year for us, actually, is
I'm sure.
birthday. And she's been gone 5 years and 4 months next week also. We have unconditional love for our daughter. We created her, and honestly, as a father, I've said it for over 5 years, that ultimately it is my responsibility to find my daughter. Yes, it may be the police's job, and they are the investigators, but ultimately, she's my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm responsible to try and find out what happened. And when you have, we've had 7 investigative teams, including the FBI, there's not a clue. We have someone on film that parked a car 1 mile away, walked away. Can't find 2 people in reality. We've had $1 million rewards, and no, we're not millionaires. Her company put it out. But nothing. $500,000 reward, $250,000 reward, $100,000, $50,000, nothing. Absolutely nothing. 1,300 leads have led nowhere.
Well, Drew, talking about that kind of thing, I just want to ask you really quickly about an email that I had gotten, because this kind of ties in with what you're saying. And this fellow emailed me about, he's saying that we have the satellite technology now. If we would allow these spy satellites or communication satellites, whatever you want to call them, to watch us 24/7,
right,
and store data, I'm not exactly sure where he wants this thing stored, and make it accessible, they would set up kind of a call center so that the police could access. If a missing person's call came in, the police could call these satellite data collection centers, give the general area where the missing person was thought to have gone missing, and be able to retrieve video or photos or whatever it is that they take within minutes, and locate a car or a person or whatever. You're familiar with this organization. I don't really want to mention names because he was emailing me, and I said come on the show, and then
the gentleman writes me all the time. And, you know, he has a great idea.
What do you
idea.
Think about that?
Number one, yes, you and I, as taxpayers, have paid for the satellites that are up there. Okay? Number two, I truly, absolutely believe that if we have traffic lights, cameras at traffic lights giving us tickets when we run a red light, that why not? As long as a judge issues a warrant for the release of film footage that will be kept private within an investigation, why not? We have Google Earth. Street level of Google Earth came in 6 months after Jennifer was taken. If it was beforehand, I could go on Google Earth right now and put in the time and look right down her driveway and watch her car come out if Google Earth existed at that time. Why not? Every crime, I don't understand why Google Earth is not being used in almost every crime right now.
Well, I'm going to play devil's advocate here, because I got to tell you, you know, I can hear my audience asking this question. You know, there are, it's kind of creepy thinking that Big Brother is out there watching, and if it could get into the wrong hands. I mean, these hackers can hack anything. You know, if there's data stored on everything that I do and every place I go, and I mean, I know people are, I know that's the main objection to it. And that doesn't bother you?
Every time you go on Google, every time you search something, they know what you're doing right now. All right? That is when you sign up for Google, when you sign up for an iPhone, when you sign up for a BlackBerry, read the fine print. If you don't like it, don't get it. It's not a right. It's a privilege.
All right. Well,
second of all, we're only talking about if a judge would say, you know, we need this information. Why should human life be less important than finding out the truth about something? Why?
Well, especially I wanted to get your feeling about it, and
I think abduction is more heinous than murder.
I agree. I mean, I know it's like I've gone back and forth with it, and that's why I really wanted your opinion on it, because I know you must have one. But
it's there anyhow.
You know, let's talk more about it. We're coming up to the end.
Legal measures take place, otherwise you don't get the information.
Right, all right.
This is an issue.
I'd like to talk more about it with you, truthfully. And I want to have you come back on the show.
Sure,
okay?
Absolutely.
And we'll talk more, and especially anything that Crime Prevention 101 can do to help you accomplish your goals. I want you to know we're here to help you, and I really thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Why, thank you.
And you've got an organization, KESI, Empowering Safety Strategies and Enterprise. It's www.kesionline.com. Please check it out for information and resources about missing children if you're in that situation. Again, thank you so much.
Thank you
for being with me.
I appreciate the time.
All right, now, stay right where you are. When we come back, a personal safety product I think is very interesting, a few tips, and some resources for you. We'll be right back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Hi, this is Susan Bartlestone, host of Crime Prevention 101, and I want to tell you about My Mobile Witness, a revolutionary service that transforms your camera phone into a personal safety device. My Mobile Witness believes safety is improved when you remove anonymity from dangerous scenarios. If you're in a stalking situation, for example, if you have an order of protection against someone, or if your profession places you in situations that are potentially dangerous, I want you to check out My Mobile Witness. And you parents of college students, ask the school to check out the My Mobile Witness University program. with custom tailored options aimed at keeping both students and faculty safe. Every campus could benefit from the My Mobile Witness University service. For more information, go to mymobilewitness.com.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're listening to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone. We invite you to share your stories, tips, or suggestions for topics you'd like us to cover, and Susan will address some of these on future shows. Send your story or idea to solutions@fightsafe.com. That email address again is solutions@fightsafe.com. Now, back to Crime Prevention 101 with Susan Bartlestone.
All right, welcome back. Wow, I can't believe we're almost at the end here. And there was so much more I wanted to tell you. I'm going to have to hold some stuff over for next week. But Drew Kessy was just amazing to talk to him. Unbelievable. A couple of things I want to get in real quick. I talked about a product a couple of shows back called The Door Devil. The people wrote to me from there. They're going to give a free Door Devil to one of my listeners per quarter. If you've got a single female afraid of an estranged spouse, or anyone in that's had a break-in or something like that, email me, solutions@fightsafe.com. I will forward your story to the Door Devil people, and they've got a Door Devil for you. Also, I wanted to talk about the Future Sentry, and it's futuresentry.com, and it is a robotic security guard. It's kind of, it reminded me like of the top of the Wall-E Disney character, the head with the two lights that kind of moves around. They use it for large residential properties. I just thought it was an interesting product. Also, of course, commercial properties. FutureSentry.com, if you want to check that out. Very interesting product. I've got some tips for you also. If a loved one goes missing, what you can do, some of the suggestions you can do. I'm not sure I'm going to have time to give you too many of these suggestions. So you know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to post them on my crimeprevention101.com blog. Some of the things that Drew and I talked about, there's no 24 or 48-hour rule in terms of reporting missing persons. I'm going to incorporate some of the things he's told me. There's you know, age limits that we thought were there are not there, how to make sure the police do pay attention to you, all sorts of tips for you. So check for that crimeprevention101.com blog. Let me see if I can talk about how to get this post. You need a poster, or you need a website for that person. I've got some tips on how to go to Amber Alert for you. It's going to be on my blog, all right? Well, you know what? That's a wrap for tonight. But please don't forget, we always love to hear from you. So by all means, post your comments and suggestions on my crimeprevention101.com blog. You can email me at solutions@fightsafe.com. Send me your story, like the announcer said. You might even be able to, might even be a guest on my show. I did it a couple of weeks ago with a listener with a very compelling story. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. And you know what? You and I will be doing this again next week, same time, same place. It'd be a crime not to listen. So stay tuned and stay safe.
We hope you got some useful information and inspiration this week on Crime Prevention 101. Susan Bartlestone invites you to join us again next Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern Time here on Voice America. If you want to learn more about Susan's guests, sign up for her newsletter, or find out about upcoming teleseminars and workshops, go to www.crimeprevention101.com today. Have a great week and a safe week.